the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. We'll read verses 6 through 9 together. I'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened, and not killed. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, there truly is no place in the world like this place. And thank you for our people. Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit is so wonderful here. Lord, there's churches in their lifetime that could not picture this crowd. And yet you seem to bless it each and every service. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I will take a phrase from the Bible and I will emphasize it. You will see its purpose. And I hope that to those of you who are truly humble, I hope that you'll find this morning's sermon an encouragement to you. To those of you who are the limelight seekers, you'll have to step aside for a moment and allow us to put some attention on those people who are not the life of the party. There are some people that just want to be recognized and they want to be seen and they make their noise and they want to be in the limelight, and if they're not, they're dissatisfied. But there are many others who are not that way. There are many others who very humbly and in a very meek fashion serve God. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, he says, as unknown, yet well known. That phrase right there captures my attention. Unknown, yet well known. You know, evidently there are people that can be unknown, but yet well known. In other words, someone may not be known, but their qualities or their accomplishments in life are well known. And really, this thing about serving God is not all about me getting attention. It's all about God getting attention. For instance, let me ask you a question. Have you heard, I want you to pay attention, I've got people talking and playing, and parents, if your kids are going to sit by a boy or a girl in church, but they're going to play all the time they do it, I'd recommend you just not let it happen. For the sake of the preaching of the Word of God, plus, it frustrates the preacher when I look out and your young people are playing and writing notes while they're supposed to be in church. Now, let me have your attention again. Have you ever heard of these people? Timothy Berners-Lee. Have you ever heard of Thomas Adams? Have you ever heard of Mary Anderson? You say, oh yeah, she lives up the street from me. We're not talking about that Mary Anderson. Have you ever heard of Randy Altschul? So I've never heard of those people. Okay. Timothy Berners-Lee is unknown, yet well known. You see, in 1960, he wrote a computer program. He wrote it for private use. It formed the conceptual basis for the World Wide Web. I never heard of him. Oh, but his accomplishments are well known. Thomas Adams is unknown, yet he's well known. He invented chewing gum. You know what I mean? Mary Anderson. Who is that? Mary Anderson is unknown, yet she is well known. She holds the patent and invented the windshield wipers. You can thank God for Mary every time that wiper swishes past your face. Randy Altschul, who is that? That's somebody that is unknown, yet well known. Randy holds the patent for the first disposable cell phone. Do you know that there are people that affect the events that take place in our world? History was molded and made by people you don't even know. You don't have to be known to make a difference. Oh, no, not at all. Now, there are people in the Bible, and Brother Williamson, I'm going to use this microphone. There are many characters in the Bible who are well known. You take Noah, he is well known. Noah, the preacher of righteousness. Noah, the one that made the ark and brought all the children. And we sing the song, well, God said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. God said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, floody. Get those animals out of the muddy, muddy children of the Lord. But who's not heard of Noah? We all have. He's well known. There's Moses. Oh, Moses. He's well known. Oh, the author of the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Bible. Oh, he's well known. The leader of God's people in a time of captivity. Oh, Moses. What a powerhouse. Then, who doesn't know Elijah? He is well known. Well known in the Bible. He calls down fire from the sky on Mount Carmel. What a powerhouse of God. Incredible man. Many, many miracles. 8, 9 different miracles that God used him to perform. And then there's the great David. We know about David. This is David, the Goliath killer, if you will. The warrior, the king, the psalmist. I mean, God allowed David to be used to pen many, many chapters of the Bible. But we know about him. He's well known. There's a well-known Mary. Mary, the one that had kept herself pure and chaste and virgin. And then she was allowed to carry in her body the Christ child. Mary, the virgin, the wife eventually of Joseph. Oh, but we all know about Mary. She's well known. Then the great Apostle Paul, at one time named Saul, the Christian killer that got converted, that became the best Christian in the world. Oh, we know about Paul, the one that penned 13 or 14 books of the New Testament. Well, and then there's the well-known man by the name of Peter. Oh my, Peter, the man that God used to preach on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people were saved and baptized. 2 books of the New Testament, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. We know about him. Oh, there's the well-known Esther. Oh, she's well-known. A book in the Bible named after Esther. She saved her uncle Mordecai and the Jews and the kingdom from wicked man by the name of Haman. Those people, they're well known. Let me tell you something. There are many more Bible characters that are somewhat unknown, but they're great people. They accomplish great things. You see, being unknown does not make them unimportant. And so you know, that's true about you too. Just because you're unknown as a Christian does not make you unimportant as a Christian. That's the title of my sermon this morning. It's called, Unknown is Not Unimportant. Unknown is not unimportant. You may be unknown here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, but just so you know, from my perspective as pastor, from God's perspective as God, your being unknown does not make you unimportant. There are some people here that are unknown, but they're not unimportant. Just like in the Bible, there are people that are unknown, but that does not make them unimportant. You don't have to be well known to do good things and great things for God. You don't have to be a household name to be important in the house of God. There are some of you, your good deeds are unknown. But just because your good deeds are unknown, it does not mean that they are unimportant. God is keeping track. When I say unknown, I'm talking about to the mere human eye. Yes, indeed, I am limited. I can only see so much. The staff men can only see so much. The people that serve God around here, we can't see everything that goes on. We can't see every little deed that is done. We can't be there to praise everyone every time that they do their good deed. But let me tell you something. We can't see it all, but God sees it all. The unknown does not mean it's unimportant. God is keeping track. Just to be honest with you, the truth be known, the things that you do that nobody sees but God, you're going to get a double reward in heaven for those things. Because those that do their deeds and they're rewarded in this life, they have thus received their reward. But when you do something and nobody knows that you did it, and it was good, and it was right, and it was wholesome, and it was righteous, and you do that good deed, and God writes it down in his book, He says, that person right there has not received a reward. Hey, it's unknown to man, but God said, it's known to me. Oh, but may I remind you, in the Bible, there are some unknown people, but that does not make them unimportant. For instance, the unknown preacher, I call him Micaiah. Micaiah, he was unknown, but he was not unimportant. Let me read a couple of verses to you. You listen as I read. 1 Kings 22, verse 7 and 8, it says, And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside, that we may inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Here's the story. Jehoshaphat and Ahab were considering getting together, forming an alliance, and going against the enemy. Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, he says, before we do this, is there not a man of God that we can inquire with? Because Jehoshaphat knew, before any major change could take place in his life, any life-changing event, he ought to get advice from the man of God. So Jehoshaphat said, is there anybody here we can get advice from? Ahab said, yeah, I've got all these prophets. But see, the problem was these prophets that Ahab was referring to, they were Ahab's prophets, and they wanted to tell Ahab what Ahab wanted to hear. So they weren't God's prophets, they were Ahab's prophets. And I don't mean this offensively. This church, I don't tell them what they want to hear. I tell them what God tells me to tell them. Now, I work at this church, but I don't work for this church. I work for Almighty God. You won't tell me what to preach. And you don't. I thank God for that. But in this case, Ahab's prophets, Ahab, all he had to do is tell them what he wanted, and they'd turn around and tell him. And Jehoshaphat says, wait a minute. You want me to go get advice about a life-changing, life-altering event, but you want me to go to that prophet who's going to tell you what you want to hear? Ahab said, I asked him if we ought to get together, and all those prophets said, yeah. Why? That's what Ahab wanted to hear. And Jehoshaphat said, isn't there a man of God around here beside? He was saying, don't you have a real man of God somewhere around here we could get some advice from? And Ahab said, yeah. There's this one guy. His name is Micaiah, but I don't like him. And Jehoshaphat said, why? He said, he tells me when I'm bad and I don't like it. And Jehoshaphat said, you don't say. He said, well, I've never heard of this guy, Micaiah. Hey, you know something? Unknown does not mean unimportant. Micaiah takes a stand. He stands for what is right. He stands for the truth. You know something? There are a bunch of people in this congregation today. You're unknown, but that doesn't mean you're unimportant. You too are standing for what is true. You too. You say, you see what Micaiah did. He was unknown, but he's not unimportant. He stood for the truth. He became unpopular, if that's what it took. He was outnumbered, but he stood for the truth. He was honest, but he stood for the truth. It cost him a little bit of clout, but he stood for the truth. You see, here you have a Christian that said, I'm going to stand for the truth. Micaiah, you don't hear his name mentioned every Sunday at church. Now, we about hear about David every Sunday, or Peter every Sunday, or Noah every Sunday, or Elijah every Sunday. You don't hear people talk about this guy, but let me tell you something. He is somebody. And we may not hear your name associated with standing up and standing for the truth. I don't know that you took a stand at work this week and you stood on the truth. And you may feel like, well, Brother Owens, I feel a bit unimportant. Hey, unknown is not unimportant. Keep on standing for the truth. Unknown is not unimportant. The unknown queen by the name of Vashti was not unimportant. In Esther chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says this, but the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. A king by the name of King Ahasuerus was one of the most powerful men in the world. He had conquered much of the known world, and he was wanting to conquer a little more. So this king called a bunch of comrades together, hundreds of them. And he was wining them and dining them, trying to convince a bunch of people from other countries to join him as he had a quest to conquer more land. So he was really putting on a shindig for all of these men. He had a wife. Her name was Vashti. It is said the word Vashti is a nickname. It means sweetie. It means she was sweet. She was sweet to look upon. She was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. And the old king gets to thinking, he thinks, you know what? If I will bring my wife into the part of the place where I'm dealing with these men, and if I can get her to help me to entice these men, I can get them to unify with me. And I've got to convince all these powerful men to want to be with me and be on my side. And so the Bible says that the king, he calls for his wife and says, I want you to come and I want you to dance in front of all these men. And just so you know, it wasn't just a casual little dance. It would have been like a strip tease. He wanted his wife to come in front of all those men, and there were only men in the meeting. All the women were meeting somewhere else. He called for Vashti. He said, fetch my wife. Come and disrobe yourself. Help me to loosen these men toward me. Bring them toward me. I want them to agree to go to battle with me. You know what Vashti did? She said, can't do it. Can't do it. I'm not stripping in front of those men. I'm not stripping in front of those men. You know what? You say, I've never heard of Vashti. Well, unknown doesn't mean unimportant. Thank God this woman took her stand. Thank God this woman said, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. You know what happened? She and her whole family were banned from the kingdom. The king said, then you get out of this kingdom. Took her and her family and ran them out of Dodge. But let me tell you something. That woman right there, she stood against nudity. She stood against nudity. You know something? I think we've got a lot of decent, moral ladies around here. I want to thank you for it. You stand against nudity. You stand against impropriety. You stand against indecency. You stand against immodesty. You stand against immorality. You keep your bodies covered as to not cause men to lust. You keep, hey, if it's not for sale, then take the for sale sign out of the front yard. And you stand for that. And you begin to wonder, you think, does anybody know? Hey, all the men that when they looked saw morality and cleanness, they seen it. But hey, unknown is not unimportant. God knows we need a bunch of women in America to stand up and say, I'm not for display. I'm not a display model. I'm for my husband, for my husband's eyes only. People strip up all their clothes over the summer, run naked. We hey, ladies, but let me say, unknown is not unimportant. What has happened to the morality in America? I thank God for Vashti. No, Vashti is not well known. No, we don't have somebody get up every week in front of their congregation and say, remember Vashti, remember Vashti, remember Vashti. Well, let me tell you something. Somebody ought to name their daughter off after Vashti. Somebody ought to name their son after Micaiah. I know we have a man in our church that didn't name a boy after it. But thank God for it. Why? Vashti stood for morality. Enough? Mm-hmm. Unimportant? Mm-mm. Hey, how about the unknown lad who gave his lunch to Jesus so he could feed thousands? Unknown. But he's not unimportant. In John chapter 6, verse number 9, it says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Here's what happened. The Bible says there were 5,000 men and their families. You got to understand something. If there were 5,000 men and their families, well, a family probably makes up a husband and a wife. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, may I remind you. Hey, that probably meant a husband and a wife, and if they had some kids. Now, today, we think the perfect family is a mom, a dad, and a child and a half. Well, back then, they had big families. I have no idea how many people were in this setting, but we know there were 5,000 men. Possibly, there could have been 5,000 women. And possibly, they could all had a couple of kids. You're figuring you could have had 10,000 plus people. And Philip says, look at all these people. They follow this Jesus. There's thousands and thousands of them. How are we going to feed them? They didn't have any. They didn't have a McDonald's. They couldn't call the caterer. They didn't have a microwave. They had no quick way of solving the problem. Philip said, well, got this kid here. He got 5 pieces of bread and a couple little fish. He's got his lunch bag with him. And they take that lunch bag from that boy. And then Jesus takes that little lunch. He prays over it. He breaks the bread. He begins to distribute. And he feeds all of those people. You know something? That boy sacrificed. If you don't believe it, you try to take the lunch away from an 8-year-old boy. To him, that was everything he had. I mean, lunch to a boy is big stuff. He sacrificed. He was willing to give up his entire lunch. And that's a big deal. Unknown, what's your boy's name? I don't know. Nobody knows. But unknown is not unimportant. Hey, young person that's serving God around here. He said, "My Lord, does anybody really notice? It doesn't matter if anybody notices, God notices." He said, "But I feel unimportant because I'm unnoticed." Hey, unknown is not unimportant. You teenagers that go out and you visit on your bus route and you do what you're supposed to do. Hey, you may not be known, but that does not make you unimportant. To the boys and girls that do for God what they ought to do for God, unknown is not unimportant. But their sacrifice here. Thank God somebody was unknown for their sacrifice. But unknown sacrifice is still important to God. You sacrifice your time. That's important to God. You sacrifice your money. That's important to God. You sacrifice your comfort. That's important to God. You sacrifice, hey, there's some of you, you give up some luxuries so that you can help other people. Let me tell you something. Unknown is not unimportant. I think of the moms and dads, and I want to praise you moms and dads. I can't tell you what I think about at this time of the year, the sacrifice that goes into a mom and dad getting ready to put their kids in a Christian school. What a sacrifice. I mean, they're moms and dads that may not have the luxuries others have. They'll turn off the cable television. Why? So their kids can go to the Christian school. Mom won't go. She won't go to the tanning booth. She won't go get her fingernails done. And they may have to get rid of a second or a third car, and they'll do without. Why? To sacrifice for their kids. They want their kids to have the very best education that they can have. They sacrifice. I'm sure there are a few that want to go ahead and have all their luxury in life and their kids will do without. But let me tell you something. Mom and dad that sacrifice and you do without. And you go the extra mile and you stop buying coffee down at the restaurant and you don't go out to eat as much because you're trying to make sure your children get a good Christian education. Let me tell you something. Unknown is not unimportant. We see the sacrifice here. Hey, let me give you another one. The unknown man named Uriah was not unimportant. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, "And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, and went not down to his house." Now here the Bible says that Uriah, and let me tell you the story. The story is, David had committed adultery with Uriah's wife, a gal by the name of Bathsheba. Now, Uriah was a captain. He was in the army. And he had been off and was off. He was off taking care of battle. David had come home. And when David was home, he slept with this other guy's wife. This other guy named Uriah was all the way back at war. Oh, now, David begins to wonder. He begins to think, oh no, I slept with this other guy's wife. She's probably going to end up pregnant. I better get her husband named Uriah home and let him sleep with her so I don't get blamed for it. And so, David gets Uriah home and says, Uriah, go home to your wife. I want you to go sleep with her. So Uriah is leaving after talking to David. The Bible says that David sent a whole mess of meat and all sorts of food and everything, sending it home so Uriah could go home and party with his wife. Come to find out, Uriah went outside David's house and he got on the front door of David's house and he parked himself there and slept there. David got up the next day and said, what are you doing on my front porch? And Uriah comes along and he says, my king, I am loyal to you. I am loyal to our country. I am loyal to the cause. And dear king, my friends are back there sleeping in tents on the dry ground, and they don't have water and they don't have food and they're in a battle. Hey, I'm a soldier. He said, I couldn't go home and enjoy my wife when all my comrade in arms are back there in the wilderness. I want to sleep out here and let you know I'm here for you if you need me. Wow. I'll tell you something. You say, I've never heard of this guy Uriah much. You're right, but unknown is not unimportant. Here is a man that expresses loyalty to the king. He expresses loyalty to the cause. He stood for his loyalty. Hey, we ought to stand for our loyalties. We ought to be loyal to the King James Bible and loyal. Hey, we ought to be loyal to the New Testament church. Thank you. Hey, we ought to be loyal to our church and loyal to Martinsburg Christian Academy. We ought to learn to be loyal to the leaders that God sets up in our life. Hey, wives ought to be loyal to their husbands, and husbands ought to be loyal to their wives, and children ought to be loyal to mom and dad. And I'm talking about in the purest and the cleanest sense of the word. And there are a lot of loyalties that go on around here. And thank God for it. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm trying to be loyal, but nobody knows it. Hey, God knows it. God knows it. And you remember, unknown is not unimportant. You say, how important is my loyalty? You ought to be as loyal as you can be, and I ought to be as loyal as I can be. And God's the one that's keeping the records. You see, an unknown is not unimportant. Uriah is a bit unknown. Let's face it. You don't hear Uriah's name very often. All you hear people say is, hey, isn't that Uriah guy the husband of old so-and-so? Oh yeah, Bathsheba. Well, there's more to it than that. This is a great man with a great quality. And he may not be in the limelight of the Bible, but that quality called loyalty, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. That's why churches are changing everywhere today. I'll tell you why. Preachers are becoming loyal to their congregations and they cease to be loyal to the old time ways and the Word of God. Happening everywhere. Hey, we need to be loyal to the Word of God. We ought to want what God wants. But I say to you, unknown doesn't mean unimportant. An unknown man by the name of Bathsheba, he was important. An unknown woman by the name of Vashti, she was important. An unknown lad that gave his lunch, he was still important. A man by the name of Uriah, unknown, but he was important. How about the servant that is unnamed in the story of Naaman? 2 Kings chapter 5, let me read a couple of verses to you. It says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Here's the story. There was a man by the name of Naaman. He was a captain of the armies of Syria. But Naaman, he had leprosy. Naaman's wife had a woman that worked for her. This woman had been taken captive. She was actually a slave girl that had become a maid to Naaman's wife. Now, Naaman, again, he had leprosy. He was dying for this thing called leprosy. And this little girl, a young gal, I'm sure that she was probably in her late teenage years, early adult years. She is a slave to Naaman's wife. She speaks up one day and she says, "Would to God that Naaman could go see my man of God." And Naaman's wife said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I know a man of God back where I'm from. He would help your husband." You know what happened? Naaman came along and said, "Tell me more. I'm hopeless. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go." This gal says, "I know a man of God. That man of God helps people. That man of God may have the answer for what you need, Mr. Naaman." Naaman said, "I'll go find him." Naaman went and found the man of God. And we find out that after a very, very brief encounter, Elisha heals Naaman. Now, who's that maid? Who's that girl? I don't know. Her name is not given in the Bible. But you know what? She stood for confidence in the man of God. That's what she stood for. Can you picture this? I mean, here she is. She's a slave. She's working for this man and woman. They're very, very rich. She's poor. She's a slave. And she speaks up and says, "I know what you ought to do." She's a man of God. You say, "What's her name?" I don't know. But I do know what she did. And your name is not always important. It's what you did. And God's keeping track of it. Thank God for this cow. She speaks up and says, "I know my man of God can help you." Her name is not mentioned. Her name is not historical like Mary or Esther or Ruth or Lydia. Oh, not at all. But that maid, she did something that was important. She's unknown, but not unimportant. Thank God for her stand, for her man of God. And let me say something to all of you today. I want to thank you for your vote of confidence in me. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of being your man of God. I want to thank you for that. I know there are times that people will criticize me, and you stand firm, and I thank you for that. I don't know all the times. I don't know. I'm sure somebody at work said I was a dumb lunkhead. And you said he's not dumb. He may be a lunkhead, but he's not dumb. I appreciate the vote of confidence. But I do know anybody that preaches like I preach and anybody that stands where I stand will be criticized. And I just happen to think I've got a whole crew of people that stand up and say, "That's my preacher." I'm not saying I deserve everything that you say about me, because some of you give me a lot of compliments. I am just a man. But I do have to fill the shoes of man of God. That is the calling that God has placed upon my life. And I just want to say to all of you, thanks for the vote of confidence. Thanks for sticking with me. And I'm not trying to lift myself up. I do know this. The Bible teaches I am to magnify mine office. There's nothing special about Jeff Owens, but there's something special about the position of pastor. And I want to thank you for your goodness to me. And I want to thank you for being loyal. I want to thank you. Hey, there are people in this midst that would criticize me. But yet there are others that would say, "Shut your mouth." And for those of you that criticize me, you don't know me. Because to know me is to love me. Give me another chance. But I'll tell you something. There are a bunch of people, I know that you take a stand. I know that you get criticized. There are people who get criticized for coming to this church. Your family doesn't understand. Your old buddies don't understand. And I want to thank you for it. Hey, you say, "But preacher, you don't know. I had to tell somebody shut their mouth the other day. Thank you very much." And just so you know, I return the favor. Because you wouldn't believe what people tell me about you. But thank you. Thank you for your vote of confidence. Every Sunday morning, I have to tell you, every Sunday morning, I just wonder who's coming. Now, I know you don't have to come. Every Sunday night, thanks for the vote of confidence. Those that come back on Sunday night, thank God. It's a vote. It's backing the man of God. It's a loyalty to the church. Everybody that's here every Wednesday night, thank God for you. Thank God for you. Those of you that put your children in Martinsburg Christian Academy, what a vote of loyalty. What a vote of confidence. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that. And you see, this young lad, this young lady, she was a maid that was unknown. But not unimportant. Let me say There's an unknown woman named Jael. But she wasn't unimportant. Say, Jael? What a name! Well, listen to this. Judges chapter 4, verse number 21, the Bible says, "Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples, fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died." Here's a story about this gal by the name of Jael. And remember, you say, "Well, I never heard of Jael." You should have! Because though Jael may be unimportant to you, she's important to God. And I hope you're catching it. There are so many of you. You don't get in the limelight. You don't get credit for everything you do. But that doesn't make it unimportant. Jael, a woman. Unknown. But yet important. The children of Israel were in bondage in Canaan. Sisera was the captain of the army of the Canaanites. A battle had taken place. Sisera, he runs to hide. This man, who's the enemy, runs to hide. He runs to the tent of a gal by the name of Jael. He says, "I'm thirsty. Give me some water." Jael, she was on her toes. She said, "I'll do one better than that. I'll give you some milk." Why? You know what you give a baby when you want it to go to sleep? Some milk. Sister said, "Some milk?" She said, "Yeah, and I'll warm it up for you." Obviously, there are about five people here this morning. You drank milk before church. So he runs into the tent. He's hiding. She says, "Oh no, this guy's the enemy." And he said, "Give me some water." She said, "I'll do you one better. I'll give you some warm milk." She gives him some milk. She said, "Won't you take a little nap right there? Lay your head right there." He says, "Okay, baby, you got a deal here." He drank his milk, he laid down, he was sawing logs. She went and got a great big old nail that was long enough to go all the way through his head and a hammer. Her dad obviously had graduated from Ivy Tech and had a carpentry degree. She takes that nail, places it on his temple, rears back with a hammer, and bang! Drives that thing all the way through his head. You ever seen a mouse in a mouse trap? This was a man in a woman trap. Be careful, man, when you're hot. Hey, if you're a grown man and your wife tries to give you milk tonight, bud, you better wake up. She nailed him to the floor. You ever heard that? You know that saying, people to this day still say, "He nailed me." This is where we get it. Right here. You know what this woman stood for? Nobody even knows who she is. When's the last time you heard a sermon on Jael? J-A-E-L. You don't. But God is saying to us, just because you're unknown, that does not mean that you're unimportant. Here, picture's a woman that has a little back row. Now, ladies, let me tell you something. I'm for a woman being feminine, and she's supposed to be. The Bible teaches a woman is to have a meek and a mild spirit. And I'm for a woman being feminine. I'm for her being like a woman. Men are supposed to be like men. Women are supposed to be like women. But ladies got to be tough. That's all there is to it. It's not easy being a mom. It's not easy in this day and age, and I realize that. There's a unique blend that has to take place there. But let me tell you something. This woman stands for a quality that I admire. Stands for a woman or a person. Doesn't have to be a woman, a man or a woman that'll do what's hard. What's hard. I agree with the one that said America's become a bunch of wimps. I know he got beat up politically. That's one reason why we're not on TV here at this church. You'd have to defend me far more in the community. We become soft. This woman stands for a woman, and I believe a good woman and a decent and a moral woman, not a woman that's trying to be a man. But she did that which is hard. We've got to learn to do that which is hard. Say, "But I've done that which is hard, Brother Owens, but nobody noticed it." Hey, God noticed it. Unknown is not unimportant. There are people in this room, nobody else understands that, hey, there's some habit that you formed when you were just a young person, and you carried it through your teenage years and then through your adult years, and it's a bad habit, and it's been with you, and it's been with you for a long time. And there are some of you as a new Christian, you say, "I'm going to overcome this habit," and it's hard. And let me tell you something. something. You just keep on going. We've got all sorts of people around here that have overcome bad habits through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's been hard. And you say, nobody knows. They don't know how hard it is. Unknown is not unimportant. You just keep on going. I look back here and see Mrs. English. What a sweet lady, but what a tough lady. Been out, had to be out of church for weeks and weeks and weeks, operations and complications. Thank God, Mrs. English, you're back. I was so pleased to see her today. I've watched virtually people in this congregation that were laying on their deathbed. The doctor said, give it up, Pastor Owens, you're not going to make it. They're here this morning. Do what's hard. Do what's hard, congregation. Do what's hard. Today, we don't want to do what's hard. She said, but I want for me to be faithful to the tithe. That'll be hard. Let me tell you something, bud. It's hard for us all. It's hard. Standing against the wrong crowd is hard. You see, jail may be unknown, but that does not make her unimportant. My wife would not want me to say this, but, and I'll find out about it later, I'm sure. My wife is one of the sweetest ladies you'll meet. I'm not setting her up for a target so somebody can attack her. You'd really have a tiger by the tail if you attacked my wife. I say that in all love on your behalf. But what a sweet, mild lady. But I also know that she's a tough lady. You don't know the beating that she can take. I don't. That sounds terrible. I've never laid a hand on my wife. Well, not like that. I remember some months ago when my wife came to me and she said, honey, I need you to talk to me about something. I need you to teach me something. I said, what is it, sweetheart? She said, somehow I feel like God wants me to fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights. I said, I don't know, honey. I've never heard of a woman doing that, to be honest, ever. She said, I cannot get away from it. She said, I have to. And I watched my wife. She would never tell anybody this, ever. I watched her for 40 days and 40 nights. Fast and pray. What inconveniences come your way so you're going to take the easy way out? I'll tell you this. I don't think I could do that, sweetheart. I'm not that big of a man. See, that's unheard of. Unknown is not unimportant. Who knows what godly person in this congregation has sacrificed for God, unknown to everybody else, and why there's a revival taking place on this property like none other going on in the nation? Who knows why? How bad do you want something? How bad? How bad do you want something? Enough to do what's hard? How bad do you want your kids in school? How bad? Could you make the change from whole milk to 2%? What do we have? Unknown. Does not mean unimportant. How about the widow that gave her 2 mites? The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. Jesus had been overseeing an offering time. The rich, when they came by and threw in their money, they put of their abundance and they put a lot of money in. A poor widow came by. We're talking about a gal that was a widow indeed. In other words, we're talking about somebody, not somebody who was divorced, not somebody, hey, we're talking about a woman, her husband, her only means of support has died. She is living off of what little bit is left. She walks by and she throws in 2 mites. And all these rich people walk in. They gave in the offering of all their money. Jesus was standing there and Jesus said, that woman right there, that widow, she gave more than everybody. Why? She had given it all. She had given it all. Jesus said she gave the most. Why? Because your giving is not based on how much you have when you give. It's based on how much you have left after you have given. Understand that? The millionaire gives $100 and he says, look at everything I gave. You got quite a bit left there, buddy. But when some widow gives $50 and that's all she had, she gave more than the millionaire percentage-wise. And God sees the percentage. And you say, but Owens, I'm a widow. I'm supporting the church and I'm tithing and I'm giving offerings and I'm trying, but I can't give as much as some of the other people when I drive my car in. It's the one that my husband left me, and Brother Owens, it's not much, and I'm a little bit embarrassed of what I have. Listen to me, ma'am. You are respected here. You are doing a good job. Hey, you say, but I'm unknown. Unknown is not unimportant. Oh no, not at all. Not at all. She stood for giving. She should. There are people in this congregation that give that you know nothing about. Now, there are some that you will know something about because they'll tell you. But there are others that won't. There are others that won't. Speaking of the unknown, a woman rushed to see her doctor. She was looking very much worried and all strung out. She rattles off, doctor, take a look at me. When I woke up this morning, I looked at myself in the mirror and I saw my hair was all wiry and frazzled up. My skin was all wrinkled and pasty. My eyes were all bloodshot and bugging out. I have this corpse-like look on my face. What's wrong with me, doctor? Do I have an unknown disease? The doctor said, well, I can tell you one thing for sure, ma'am. There's nothing wrong with your eyesight. You do look that bad. Unknown is not unimportant. Oh, listen to me. You may be unknown here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, but you're not unimportant to God. Betty Fuller is not known by everybody here, but she spent years and years helping to clean this church. Betty, unknown? Yes, you are, ma'am, but not unimportant. Jimmy and Regina Oates, unknown. You say, who are they? Unknown, but not unimportant. They're bus workers, help in a Sunday school class. Steve and Linda Barber, unknown, but not unimportant. They help us take the bus count. Faithful, godly members of our church. This is Pat Johnson. You don't hear her name much. Pat Johnson, unknown, but not unimportant. Comes in here early every Sunday morning and sits at the telephone, ready to answer the phone in case one of our buses break down because she cares about little boys and girls, making sure that if we have a breakdown, she sends another bus out to take care of it. Unknown, but not unimportant. Charlie Baker prayed a little earlier today. I'm so proud of Charlie Baker. Unknown, but not unimportant. He's a parking lot attendant, among other things. He did. Susan Bass, unknown, but not unimportant. I don't know where you're at, Susan, but thank you. Comes in here. You're talking about one of the most faithful people that help us to clean our buildings as a volunteer. Always, always, always 100% dependable. Barbara Cork, unknown, but not unimportant. An assistant Sunday school teacher. Again, a faithful, loyal member of our church. Hey, Robert Daniels. He does maintenance on our playground out here. Say, who's that? Right. Unknown, but not unimportant. Dan Folk, who works with our grounds crew. You talk about a faithful man doing his mowing. You give him a job, he'll do his job. Unknown, but not unimportant. Sam and Mary Huffman, sitting right back here. Sam and Mary, you know what they do? They clean our buses out here. Wiley and Mung Watson, they go and they'll go each week and they wash out the inside of the buses so they're clean, they're swept, and they're tidy for the weekend. You say, oh, well, I didn't know that. Unknown is not unimportant. John Shiflett, Brother Shiflett, you say, who's that? Ronnie, I heard of him. His picture's down at the post office. But John? Uh-huh. John, faithfully. If he's well, he'll be standing at the top of the stairs running that chairlift week in, week out, week in, week out. Unknown, but not unimportant. Helen Spittler, very faithful nursery worker for years and years and years and years. Say, well, which one is, I'm not real sure which one she is. You know something? God knows who she is. Unknown, but not unimportant. Brian Terrell. Say, who's that? He's a man that's a parking lot attendant. The guy with the biggest smile on his face out there. Say, why? Every time he dodges a car, he thinks, they didn't get me. You talk about, I love that guy. What a smile. I don't know him. Unknown is not unimportant, my friend. Les Brining, 62 years member of this church. Say, who's that? God knows who he is. Oh, yeah. 62 years faithful to church. Jean Linton, you say, what'd she do? You just might as well call her a need filler. Nobody would understand what a need filler Jean Linton has been. You say, who's that? Unknown is not unimportant. I think of Patricia Simpson. Who's that? Unknown is not unimportant. Assistant Sunday school teacher. Meek, mild, submissive gal. Never gives anybody a moment's problem. Sue Bush. Wait, now, you hear about Craig Bush. You hear about Mel Bush. Who's Sue Bush? Probably the smartest one in the whole family. And man, can she make gravy. Woo! Unknown is not unimportant, Mrs. Bush. Eric Constantino, sitting right down front here. Who's that? Well, has an awful lot to do with our soul winning ministry, and he works computer support to help us with our soul winning ministries and our MAP projects on Thursday night. Fabulous job. Matt Hill in our PA room. Unknown, but not unimportant. Carolyn Klaus. Always in her place. Always faithful. Say, who is she? God knows who she is. Unknown is not unimportant. I think of Diana Lowe. Nursery worker. Faithful. Sometimes not feeling so well, but always come to church. Always coming to church. Doing that which is hard. You say, what's hard? Being married to Bill. Unknown is not unimportant. I think of John Palnall. Where you at, Brother John? I seen you back there. Right back here. Fine man. Greeter here at the church. Say, who is that? Not looking for any limelight. Unknown, but not unimportant. I think of Mandy Thorne, nursery worker. Unknown, it's not unimportant. I think of Marvin Barrett, who works with our grounds crew. Unknown, it's not unimportant. I think of Kevin Waples. Did I say that name right? I'll tell you what. New in our church, not been around for long, but we can just thank God. You don't know who Kevin is, but you can thank God for him, I'll tell you right now. I could not tell you how much work that guy's put in around here. Every time I turn around doing something else, never looking for not a pat on the back, not looking, just serving God. I think of Ralph Millat. You say, who's that? Well, see, you know Doug. Doug's the little bald guy that stands back here at this door that ran off with Betty yesterday and got married. You had to be here for that wedding. That was sweet. It was sweet. Ralph, he's the ugliest of the Millats. I'll tell you what, Brother Ralph is a good man. Some of you don't know him. He can lighten up that whole hallway right there. You can hear him out there just a laughing and a carrying on. You see him coming. I asked him the other day. He'd had a long, hard day of work. And I said, well, Ralph, how'd your day go? He said, preacher, every day's a good day that you got a job. Whew, what a good attitude. She's unknown. Hey, but unknown is not unimportant. I'm thinking of Kelly Ramsey. Most people don't know who she is. She used to be secretary over here at our school. Teaches Sunday school and our Sunday school departments. Youth worker for years and years and years. Bit unknown, but not unimportant. Hey, say, preacher, I've been serving God. I don't think anybody knows what I've been doing. I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Part of me wishes everybody could know, but part of me wishes everybody didn't know. Say, I sacrificed to help somebody. unknown is not unimportant. Hey, are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you go to heaven? You say, I'm not sure of that. Maybe you ought to do what the Lewises did last Sunday. You say, the Lewises? Who's that? Oh, those are some people that are unknown to you that walked the aisle this last week, got saved, followed the Lord and believers' baptism, been in every church service since. Now, unknown's not unimportant. If you're not born again, if I were you, I'd get saved. Say, am I important to God? Indeed, you are. Say, nobody here in this church knows my name. That may be so. But Jesus died for you. He knows. He's made a way for you to go to heaven. All you got to do is realize that everybody's a sinner. That includes you. That there's a penalty for that sin, and that is death and hell separated from God for all eternity. But Jesus loved you. He did not want you to die and go to hell. He died for you. He was buried for you. He was resurrected for you. Now He turns to you and says, look, if you ask me to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and save you, I'll do it. I'll come into your heart. You can be born again. You can leave this property today on your way to heaven. You say, well, who will know? Well, what God's then going to do the minute you get saved, He writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows. God knows. Are you saved? I'm not talking about getting religion. We have a baptistry back here, but getting in that water never has or ever will save anybody. See, I was sprinkled as a child. Doesn't matter. You can take a shower every day in holy water or holy spit if you want to. Water does not save anybody. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Say, but I turned over a new leaf. You can rake the whole yard, baby. You can shake the tree. Turning over a new leaf isn't going to save you. It's not by works of righteousness, which you have done, but according to His mercy He saves you. So I gave some money. Good. Give some more. That does save you. I'm sure of it. You just keep on giving. Giving money won't save you. You can give it all. That won't save you because you don't have enough to buy the value of salvation. It was paid for by another in full by the blood of the Lamb. But if you've never trusted Jesus, you say, I'm a member of the church. I don't care if you're a member of every church in West Virginia and some in Maryland too. It's not going to make a difference. Your name on the church roll doesn't save you. Only one thing, trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Say, well, I'll trust Jesus and I'll trust Him about 80% and I'll do some good works for the other 20%. I'm sorry. It's 100% trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He does all the saving. You just do all the letting. You let Him save you and you can go to heaven. You might say, nobody knew I was coming today. They didn't have to know you were coming today. God knew. And maybe God spoke to your heart about your need of salvation. If you need to be saved, why don't you do it today? There are some of you, you wonder if anybody notices. I'm not sure I can tell you that anybody notices. I hope so. But if they don't, God does. You were ready to throw in the towel. You just felt like you were unappreciated. I don't want you to feel that way. I don't know of anybody that feels that way, but if you do, just remember, unknown is not unimportant. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.